I am going to stay away from processed seed oils like corn oil, sunflower oil, canola oil, soy oil, especially because often they're GMO or not organic. They have solvents, they have heat and all these other things, and they are damaging because they are damaging to the body. And therefore, I'm going to stay away from a lot of the processed foods that are available in the center of your store. So the reality is, even the healthier, and I'm air quoting this, healthier salad dressings often contain these oils because they're cheap. Have you been feeling off? You know what? Your hormones might be out of whack. Take my quiz to discover your personalized hormone imbalance and get a free report with your results. Learn what's really going on with your hormones and start feeling like yourself again. Just visit the website quiz.hormoneshelp.com to take the hormone quiz now. The topic of seed oils and their impact on health and longevity compared to saturated fats has long been a subject of ongoing research and debate. And I would say right now that debate is heating up into a frenzy pit. So I spent the last week going through the literature so I could actually help you unwind the true data. So join me today in Menopause Mastery. We're going to dig in on what is it? Is it seed oils or saturated fat? Let's figure out what you really need to do. Right. So up until a couple of years ago, no one really talked about this directly other than the idea that your corn oil, soy oil, canola oil, especially when they're used in cooking, are oxidative and damaging. But now we have this ongoing debate going on between the researcher world and the nutrition influencer world. And then there's, you know, where does the science hit in between? So I want to dig in today, and I am going to go in a little bit deep into this because I think it's very confusing for people. And I feel like my job is to help you understand the literature and what does it say so you can make an informed decision from at least where we have the science today. So let's start with, where did the controversy start? What's really happening? So several in vitro studies, which means it's in a petri dish, have investigated the potential inflammatory effects of seed oils, particularly those in high in omega-6 polyunsaturated fatty acids known as PUFAs. So PUFAs are generally inflammatory. There is one, dihomogammalinolenic acid, or otherwise known as DGLA, which is actually an anti-inflammatory prostaglandin. But the majority, particularly one called arachidonic acid, is quite inflammatory. Now, your omega-6s, our body actually can produce, right? So if your body needs an inflammatory omega-6, it can produce its own. So the idea being, if I'm eating a lot of omega-6 fats, I'm getting a extraordinary dietary input of these polyunsaturated inflammatory fats. So these in vitro petri dish studies, so this is not in humans, this is looking in a petri dish, suggest that compounds transformed during the processing, heating, or what we call oxidation of these oils may contribute actually to the inflammation. However, it's important to note that in vitro studies have some limitations, right? We haven't looked at them in humans. And these studies don't mirror what we see in human studies. So I'm going to go into where the caveats are, what works, what doesn't work, and where the nuances may be today. So first off, here's some of the key findings that were found in these petri dish studies. So number one, when these seed oils, particularly like corn, canola, vegetable oils, soy oils, are exposed to heat and light, or even air, they undergo a thing called oxidation. This is leading to the formation of compounds such as lipid peroxides and aldehydes, which are inflammatory. In vitro studies have shown that these oxidized compounds can trigger inflammatory response in cell types, so things like your endothelial cells that make up your actual interior of your arteries, and macrophages, which are some of your immune fighting cells, and the activation of inflammatory pathways, right? So these also activate inflammatory pathways. In some vitro studies, they found that the fatty acids found in seed oils, such as linolenic acid, can activate inflammatory signals. And when we incorporate high levels of omega-6 from seed oils into our diet, it gets incorporated into the cell membrane. So every cell has this fat in the membranes that makes up the wall. So think of it as kind of the bricks and the mortar of your cell wall, and it makes you more susceptible to oxidation and inflammation. And we also have interaction with immune cells. So in vitro studies have investigated the effects of seed oils derived from these fatty acids and causing inflammatory reaction to the immune cells. So one study, as an example, found that linolenic acid increased the production of pro-inflammatory cytokines in human blood, right? So nobody knew what inflammatory cytokines were until we got to, you know, the virus that shall be unnamed, right? So your body responds with cytokines to inflammatory response, and you want that to happen in a short-term situation, like an illness, but you don't want ongoing inflammatory cytokines reacting all the time. So again, the in vitro studies investigated the seed oil fatty acids and stimulation to the immune cells, and then this inflammatory, pro-inflammatory activity, right? So that's what the in vitro studies said. So let's dig in. Let's go into what seed oils really are, right? So seed oils such as soybean, safflower, sunflower, canola oil, corn oil are rich in these polyunsaturated omega-6 fats. When we look at observational studies, these are observational studies of humans and dietary intake, the high intake of omega-6 fatty acids may be associated with inflammation and potentially higher risks of chronic diseases. However, when we looked at controlled clinical trials of individuals where we controlled the food, they have been conflicting, right? So this is where we start to get into the nuts and bolts. So depending who you listen to online, you may be getting different sources. So when we look at human trials, it looks like it's conflicting, right? One group found it was bad, one group found it was good. So let's dig in. So a systematic review and a meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials found that replacing saturated fats with these polyunsaturated seed oils led to a significant reduction in cardiovascular events and mortality. Okay, so let me dig that in. So when they replaced saturated fats that are found from animals, so things like from red meat, chicken, butter, coconut oil, when they replaced those with seed oils, they saw a reduction in cardiovascular event and mortality. Another meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. So a meta-analysis is when they take all the controlled trials that they can find, dig through and look for high-value studies, meaning that they were well done, the methodology worked, and it wasn't a poorly designed study. They throw out the ones that are poor, and then they keep the better designed studies and start to look for what's common and what is outstanding in these studies to come up with a generalized recommendation. So this other meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials concluded that increasing seed oil PUFAs, especially in place of saturated fat, may reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, right? So, okay, so now we go, the human trials were a little bit conflicting and two major systemic and meta-analysis showed that, hey, maybe the saturated fats may be more problematic. So let's dig in and talk about what these saturated fats are. So saturated fats are found predominantly in animal products, right? So the fat that's found in animal tissue. And it also is found in dairy products and tropical oils, so things like coconut and palm oil. And these have been traditionally associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease. But again, more of the research has started to challenge this notion. A large prospective cohort study found no significant association between saturated fat intake and the risk of coronary heart disease, stroke, or cardiovascular disease. And a meta-analysis of prospective cohort studies also concluded that there was no significant association between saturated fat intake and all-cause mortality, so death from any cause. Cardiovascular disease mortality, no association, or cardiovascular disease event. However, it's important to note that where the saturated fat came from in these studies seems to matter. Another study found that replacing saturated fats from meat with fats found from dairy products lowered the risk of cardiovascular disease. And it may be that these dairy products contain different fatty composition like butyric acid and other things, but that there was a difference between saturated fat from, let's say, red meat to fats from butter, let's say. All right. So let's do some comparison here first between these. So some studies suggested that replacing these saturated fats with seed oils may have some cardiovascular support, but again, it's not entirely conclusive. When we look at human studies, the overall recommendation is that it may be somewhat protective. If you were to look at the preponderance of research, it leans a little heavily on seed oils, right? Now, how can that be, right? So let's talk a little bit about what may be confounding these studies, right? So it's important to note the quality, the source, and how it's prepared in the dietary patterns to understand the difference between seed oils and saturated fats, right? So not all seed oils are the same. And saturated fats in many older studies were actually hydrogenated, which means that they were chemically altered like a hydrogenated oil. Think of your shortening, right? Your Crisco, air quotes around Crisco. When you hydrogenate an oil, that is absolutely, doesn't matter what kind of oil it is, absolutely inflammatory. And a lot of those saturated fat studies were using hydrogenated saturated fat rather than unhydrogenated, unadulterated saturated fat. So you have to also understand where the substrate or the type of fat came from. So let's get into the seed oils and why some of them may be more concerning than others and why you need to understand this. So seed oils, okay, corn oil, soy oil, go through a massive amount of processing and refinement, which leads to the formation of these harmful compounds. Again, if we look at that compared to things like minimally processed, cold processed, or expeller pressed seed oils, there is a huge difference between a corn oil, soy oil, safflower oil, and a cold pressed pumpkin oil, right? Very different. And in the context of seed oils, we have to understand that. So your common seed oils, corn, safflower, soybean, vegetable oils, are highly processed and refined, right? These oils contain an omega-6 fatty acids that are inflammatory. And again, the processing method matters. So when they extract the oil from the seed, it can significantly change it. So if it's cold pressed or expeller pressed, they're generally considered to be of a higher quality because they haven't been heated or added chemicals, solvents, things that degrade the nutritional properties of the oil. So most of your cooking oils, and especially the stuff you get with fried foods and the other crap that we get in fast food, restaurants, and packaged foods are going to have been chemically processed, heated, and chemically altered with solvents, right? So this destroys nutritional quality of whatever fat might be in it. And these solvents and chemicals may contain harmful residues and obviously have a lower nutritional value. So that's where we get the aldehydes and the other oxidative lipid peroxides. Also, these seed oils have to go through extensive refining, which is done with high heat, deodorization, and the use of chemicals, right? Do you want to eat anything that has to be deodorized? I don't know about you, but that just sounds gross. So the process can ultimately remove some of the impurities and improve the stability. So the other reason why these all go through this is omega-6s and omega-3s are fairly unstable, right, as a fat. And so if they have been chemically altered, that makes them slightly more stable on the shelf. Well, again, our lovely American food processing and the crap we send out across the world is designed to have a shelf life for eternity. And so when they were exposed to high heat and refine it and try and deodorize it and create stability, they're actually making the product more damaging by removing things like antioxidants and phytosterols. And again, when these get very heated or they become too hot, and especially if they hit a smoking point, if you're cooking, the actual breakdown of those omega-6s can create trans fats in the process. And that's one of the main things that we can look at and say, you know, these seed oils are also very bad in the context in which they're often consumed. They're often consumed because they're used to make your fried things, right? And that in itself is problematic. Storage conditions, right? So if we expose it to light, heat, and air, it causes these seeds and the seed oils to oxidize, right? Become rancid. That's what oxidize means. And it leads to the formation of those nasty compounds like the aldehydes and lipoperoxides, and also contribute to that sort of rancid flavor, right? So storage should be in a dark place, cool, those kind of things. Well, I don't know about you, but if I went to the grocery store and looked on the shelf to find a seed oil, and I'm air quoting that, even though you may not be able to see me, are they ever in dark containers? No, they're in clear plastic containers. So the storage condition makes a difference, and it's going to affect the quality and the freshness of that oil if you were considering using one. Now, obviously, the age of the oil is going to have a difference. Seed oils degrade and lose their nutritional value, and actually the processing itself pretty much degrades most of it. And consuming oils that have been stored too long or expired obviously are going to have detrimental effects because you're basically ingesting an inflammatory fat that's going to be incorporated into your cells. So it also comes down to the seed type and seed quality. The quality of the seeds used to produce the oil can obviously impact the final product. And seeds that are damaged, moldy, contaminated with pesticides or other funky things are going to obviously result in some nasty oil. And also the balance of fatty acids in the different seeds can influence their stability and health effects. Oils that are high in your PUFAs are also more prone to that oxidation again and are less stable than things like monounsaturated or saturated fats. And then many seed oils contain added preservatives, colorants, and flavorings, which can affect that overall health effect of them. So if we're looking at oils, right, we're going to define the difference between different types of seed oils because I classify them in two different major categories. So again, a lot of the seed oils that we're eating in the West are used in fried products and prepared products because they help shelf stability and they're cheap as hell, right? So your corn oil, safflower oil, canola oil, soy oil, general vegetable oils are all in this omega-6 PUFA category. And again, have to use solvents and heat and other extraction methods to get them into the oil that you recognize. We also have other seeds that are never used for cooking because they have too low of a smoke point and they get damaged, but they do have some therapeutic effect, especially if we look at some of the compounds within the oils that are helpful, like the phytoestrogens and the polyphenols, and some of them contain also omega-3s. So for instance, cold-pressed or accelerator-pressed oils without the use of heat or extraction preserve their natural and nutrient flavors and natural nutrients. So a lot of the ones that you see are going to be things like flaxseed oil, sesame oil, pumpkin oil, grapeseed oil, right? These are never, ever used to cook, right? These are often therapeutic oils where flaxseed might be used by a vegetarian or vegan to get omega-3s like alpha-linolenic acid. They do have those polyphenols and nutrients left, so they have some nutritional value. Again, these were not the oils used in these studies. Unrefined oils. So these are unrefined. They haven't gone through the processing. They have their natural flavor. They have their natural ingredients, and they have a much lower shelf life and a much more sensitivity to heat and light exposure. And so they have a very low smoke point. And so they would never, ever be used for cooking. Obviously, if you're doing any kind of fat, you want to make sure that they're organic, obviously, because you don't want to be absorbing synthetic pesticides or fertilizers that are fat loving, which means they're going to stick to those fat molecules pretty heavily. And a lot of these seed oils are also known as specialty oils because they have beneficial compounds, like I said. So we also have things like black cumin seed oil, perilla seed oil, which are rich in beneficial compounds for different health effects. So black cumin seed oil is immune modulating, for instance. So those oils are in a different class than our seed oils that are used for cooking. So let's jump back and talk about monounsaturated fats, right? Because we talked about the saturated fats, but monounsaturated fats are also important here. So monounsaturated fats are your things like olive oil. Avocado has some as well. And they have a different consideration and different health options. The monounsaturated fats, it has a lot to do with where the twist in the fat molecule is. So omega-3 has a twist at 3, omega-6 has a twist at 6, and then omega-9, like your monounsaturated at the 9. Think of it that way. That's a simplified form of seeing it. And your monounsaturated fats have potential beneficial compounds. Yes, they are coming from seeds, right? Like olives. And so when we look at monounsaturated fats, olive oil and avocado oil, particularly the oleic oil, it has associations with improved heart health and reduced inflammation. It's one of the main drivers of the research around the Mediterranean diet being protective. So what's interesting is some of your high oleic sunflower oil and high oleic safflower oil also have MUFAs as well. So it has the monounsaturated fats, which is why the food production industry would call them more stable for cooking. But again, they have to go through the solvents, the heat processing, and other things. So when we look at monounsaturated fats, they have, again, benefit. When they're cold processed, virgin or extra virgin, they have a lot of the polyphenol and, like in the case of olive, a lot of the phenolic compounds and olive ingredients left in, which mean they're at a very low smoke point. So your very cold pressed or extra virgin olive oil should be used for post-heating eating, not to cook with, because they have a very low smoke point. And anytime your oils smoke, they're going to be problematic because they are getting damaged. So we also have other oils like grapeseed oil also that is used often in cooking as well. But what becomes really important is this antioxidant and bioactive compounds, right? So extra virgin olive oil has these bioactive polyphenols that are potent antioxidants that can help reduce inflammation and protect against, you know, things like cardiovascular disease, diabetes. They both have been studied extensively and shown to be helpful. Avocado also contains phytosterols and carotenoids, which are antioxidants as well. And some of your specialty oils that we don't cook with, but we use nutritionally, like black cumin seed oil, pumpkin oil, perilla oil, also have health benefits. So they are in a category themselves. And again, olive oil and avocado oil have relatively decent smoke points. Again, I would say your extra virgin you would keep out of the cooking and keep for drizzling over things, but it can be used, obviously. And as a seed oil, because again, olives are a seed, they are generally considered much healthier due to this monounsaturated fat content than your corn oil, soy oil, canola oil. Now, so if we dig in and start looking at your saturated fats, right? Again, these are found in your animal products like tropical oils, coconut oils. And again, these have been generally studied and associated with risk, right? So what's some of the caveats to some of these? Again, like I said, a lot of the earlier studies, they took a healthy saturated fat, whether it was tallow or butter or coconut oil, and then they would hydrogenate it, which harms the fat and makes it into a harmful trans fat. And there is no question, the research is 100% clear that trans fats, regardless of the entity it came from, are inflammatory, particularly from a cardiovascular standpoint. So if we look at that and we go, okay, so how come all of these studies sort of conflict with each other? So the first one is when we look at the in vitro studies, okay, they're looking at a petri dish and what's happening to those cells. And so to some degree, when we're looking at it and we're saying these are very bad for you, we're deriving that answer from a petri dish, not a human. When we look at the human clinical trials, we're looking at the comparison between foods that were taken in with saturated fats, often hydrogenated in the older studies, and then often looking at vegetable oils used in cooking. And so those stories are conflicting, right? The saturated fat ones go back and forth depending on what study. More recent studies where they control for hydrogenation don't have the same risk profile with saturated fats as we saw in older studies, especially when we're looking at human randomized controlled trials. Now, so what would the recommendation then be, right? What should you do now that you've heard all those studies? Because on both sides of the fence, honestly, the research supports both arguments. I'm going to give you my recommendations based on, I don't know, I looked at probably 50 different studies to get to this answer. So here's my recommendation. Based on current research, everything I could pull together and my clinical judgment, I am going to stay away from processed seed oils like corn oil, sunflower oil, canola oil, soy oil, especially because often they're GMO or not organic. They have solvents, they have heat and all these other things, and they are damaging because they are damaging to the body. And therefore, I'm going to stay away from a lot of the processed foods that are available in the center of your store. So the reality is, even the healthier, and I'm air quoting this, healthier salad dressings often contain these oils because they're cheap. That's just flat out it. Even some of the really fancy brands, I'm not going to call anybody out, often have some of these oils in it. They're not using olive oil or a cleaner oil. So when I can, I'm going to do that, which means I'm not eating fried foods. I'm not eating, you know, bread or something like that. I obviously don't eat bread, but something that can sit on the shelf and last for months on end because it's going to have these seed oils in it that have been highly processed and solvent made. And I'm going to stick to healthy saturated fats that have been unhydrogenated from animals that are wild caught and or free range. Because here's the thing. When you look at the studies looking at human studies, you also want to know, where did that saturated fat come from? There is a big difference in fat composition between a piece of beef that the animal was grass-raised and grass-finished. The composition contains a lot more CLA, which is another fat component. I don't want to go into it here, but it's a higher quality. It's even got a little bit of omega-3s in it. The arachidonic acid, which is an omega-6 fat that's very inflammatory, is very low because the animal is eating what the animal was designed to eat, which is grass. Right, and other plants growing from the ground, not corn and soy and some kind of meal, and not standing in their own excrement in a feedlot where they can't move around. So when you look at the saturated fats, quality matters also, right? So if I'm doing saturated fats, I'm also going to be getting those for my diet. I don't necessarily need to go use a lot of saturated fat in my processing and cooking, right? So if I'm doing a saturated fat, I'm going to eat animals that are free range, clean, organic, you know, humanely raised, because their fat content is going to be radically different. I'm also going to use some monounsaturated fats, because the reality is the research out there that supports the use, particularly of olive oil, I'm not going to use it in a lot of cooking just because it has a low smoke point. So anytime it starts to smoke, you're causing it to destroy some of the composition of the oil. And it can, especially if it starts smoking a lot, create a trans fat. But cold processed or expeller pressed oils such as extra virgin olive oil and avocado oil can absolutely be used, but they're not cooking oils, particularly if they're extra virgin. But they have a flavorable fatty acid profile and all the extra polyphenols and nutrients that are in it. And I'm going to stay away from all of those processed vegetable oils and try and reduce them out of my diet. If I'm looking at saturated fats and I do dairy, which is a whole nother conversation because we have the for dairy and against dairy camp, dairy fats actually in the studies show to be slightly favorable. And again, it's probably the CLA content and other things that may be advantageous. But if you do dairy, definitely saturated fats from those dairy products may be helpful. Again, wild caught, organically raised, grass fed are all really important. And if I'm looking at some of those other seed oils that have advantages, so the black cumin seed oil and its immune modulating activities, or perilla oil and its anti-inflammatory activity, or your flaxseed oil, which provides a vegetarian source of omega-3s, I'm going to use those nutritionally for their nutritional advantage. And ultimately, the healthiest approach is to consume a variety of these oils in moderation, right? Doesn't mean you have to pound oils all the time, because there are genetics where we can be a hyperabsorber. If you've heard me talk about it, I have a hyperabsorption saturated fat genetic profile, which means if I get really wild and crazy with saturated fats, I do see lipid changes like cholesterol changes, and I actually see weight gain from it. Not everybody does, but I happen to, because I carry the APOA2 gene. I've got two mutations on it. So a balanced diet consumed in moderation, and I'm going to stick towards those organic, wild-caught, free-range, non-solvent, non-vegetable oil sources, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to use any seed oils. I'm still going to use olive oil and avocado oil, and I'm still going to use those medicinal oils like flax oil and other things, again, not for cooking, but I'm going to use them therapeutically. Because right now, if I look at the data, are not obvious. We've got science on both sides, but when we look at the human clinical trials, the preponderance of them shows that high saturated fat diet increases cardiovascular disease. Again, a lot of those studies were done early where they've got hydrogenated oils. And then again, we obviously don't want anything with solvents and other, you know, heat processed seed oils in our diet. All right. So ultimately, that healthiest approach for you is to consume a variety of these fats in moderation, minimally processed, and using them appropriately based on their individual properties. And consider that overall dietary pattern and your lifestyle factors when making this, you know, choice. Like, what am I trying to do with it and how am I trying to use it? Because that's going to help you decide which way you want to go. So hopefully you found this to be a really informative, helpful, actual podcast today. And take the moment today to go ahead and reach out and give us a thumbs up or a 5-star review. Your reviews really matter. It helps us get out to our listeners and helps us build the podcast so we can have more great episodes. Thank you for listening to Menopause Mastery. I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Menopause Mastery podcast. You are why I'm here, and I am so very grateful. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any wisdom on creating the most exceptional life on our terms. If this episode has helped you in any way, please share it with a friend to spread the love, and together we rise. You can follow me on social media at Betty Murray, PhD, and you can reach me online at BettyMurray.com.